So go ahead and get your Bibles out, and I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, and we are going to conclude our study on the whole armor of God. Now, if you'll remember, we began several sermons ago where we began talking about that Paul likened a spiritual armor to the physical armor that a first century Roman soldier would wear when he was going to go into battle. And he took those pieces and he described how we are to put that armor on. Remember, I've emphasized this over and over, and I want to emphasize it one more time as we come to the conclusion of this series and this study, that you have to put the armor on. It's not automatically on. It's I think, because of salvation and because Christ lives within you, you have access to it, but it's not something automatic. It's something that you have to work out and practice. And so you put this armor on. This is a spiritual armor because we're in a spiritual warfare. A physical armor, no matter what kind of armament you may have, will not stop the fiery dart of the devil. You have to have spiritual armor. I told you again, and I'll tell you again. We can't shoot the devil with a pistol. We can't drop a bomb on him. We can't send him a Scud missile. Okay, I wish we could. I wish we could blow the devil up, but we can't do that. Our battle with him is spiritual. What he's doing toward us, toward this church, toward this country right now, and families in this church, toward you as an individual, is a spiritual battle. And the only way we're going to battle him spiritually is to battle him with the whole armor of God on. It's a spiritual battle with spiritual armor. And we've covered all the pieces, and we got down to one more piece. But I'm going to look at two different things here tonight. Because in this study, as we concluded tonight, not only are we going to look at the sword of the Spirit, which is, the Bible says, it's the Word of God, as you find in verse number 17 of that chapter, but I'm going to include the next verse where it says, praying always. And this is not part of the actual armor. However, it is to go along with the armor. It is to be included with the armor. I think through prayer, and especially that prayer is involved, and how the armor is actually put on, and then how the armor is utilized. And I'm going to speak some more about that here in a moment when we get to that, because I think it's an interesting thing that when Paul lists all the pieces of armor that a first century Roman soldier would put on before he went into battle, there's one that he didn't mention that's not included. And I'm going to tell you in a moment, as we look at verse number 18, why that piece of armor may not be mentioned. I don't know that, but I guess my opinion is just as good as anybody else, as long as it's an opinion. Now, when the Bible says it, everybody's opinion means nothing. And when the Bible says something, my opinion really doesn't mean anything. But I do have a comment to make on that. But let's read verses 17 and 18 here tonight. Verse number 17, the Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation, which is what we covered last week, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And notice verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Brother Mark Brantley, would you pray for this, and then we'll get started.
Father, thank you again for the day. Thank you for
yes.
Yes. For service this morning, Father.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you for our church. We come to tell the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
Help me tonight.
Thank you for being so good to me. I ask you to forgive my sins before I fail you. So
yes, Lord God, God, help us.
Thank you for saving my whole wretched soul.
Amen.
Ask all this to Jesus.
Amen. 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 Now, I want you to notice what it says about this piece of armor. It says it's the sword of the Spirit. And then he tells you what that sword of the Spirit is. He says, which is the Word of God. Now, this may be, in my opinion, even though when you go down to verse number 16, when he says, above all, take the shield of faith. But that is when the devil is shooting fiery darts at you. I don't know. Maybe this is just my opinion. I would consider maybe the overall most important piece, if you look at what all it does, certainly the shield of faith might be considered because Paul does say above all. But the sword of the Spirit is, I would consider of great importance, and I'll tell you why. That is the only offensive piece of offensive weaponry that he gives you. Everything else that you put on is to protect you. You put it on to protect your head, protect your vitals, to gird yourself up and get you ready to go. And you have your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace so you can move and if some, you know, you were to get struck or whatever. But all that stuff is for defense. All that stuff is for protection. But the sword of the Spirit is your offensive weapon. Listen, that weapon that God gives you spiritually to take up is not just to defend yourself from the devil. I mean, the devil's trying to stab you when you can go to stab him back. But you can't stab him with a real knife or a spear. You got to have the Word of God. And so, but I tell you something else I think that's very much important about the Word of God. Is not only is it the only offensive weapon that's given, but I think it's the weapon that you can use to do both. I know that a sword is primarily an offensive weapon. You're to thrust it, you're to stab it, you're to hurt your opponent. But a sword can also be a very good defensive weapon. How many of you ever watched people do sword fighting or what they call that, fencing? Want to do that? I couldn't fence because, brother, I'd get fenced in a hurry big as I am. I'm a big target there, But what they do is that you use that thing to block and you use it to assault. It's for defense and it's for offense. I heard somebody say one time about coaching football that a good offense is the best defense you can get. Maybe there's some truth to that. Now, there is a verse that's found over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, about the Word of God. And it says, the Word of God is quick. And remember, that word means alive. This book, this King James Bible is alive. It's not like a novel. It's not like another book. It's alive. It has a spirit on it. And it says, the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. So there again, the Bible is compared to a two-edged sword. And notice what it says that it does. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's just one verse that tells you a whole lot about the Word of God. But do you notice what it said? It said that thing divides the soul and the spirit, and then it talks about the joints and the marrow. What part of you inside of you is in your joints and your marrow? That's your body. That Bible divides and does something with you as a whole person. Your body, soul, and spirit. It's very important. And it's a very important piece of the battle to go into battle with. Now, let me tell you something about the sword. You need the right sword. Just any old sword won't do. Now, I'm just going to spend just a minute or two on this, and you can exhale if you think, boy, Brother Dennis pushes it too much or whatever, but it'll be all right. You'll get over it. I think there's many Christians out there, many people that are genuinely saved. I think that they love the Lord, and I think that they're getting something done for God, and they don't agree with me about this. So I'm not saying this to say that if you don't have a King James Bible, you're not saved, because I don't believe that. Or if you don't have a King James Bible, God can't use you. I don't believe that. I've seen other people that He does use. However, I'm going to say this. If you don't have the King James Bible, you don't have the perfect Word of God. And if you don't have the King James Bible, you can still grow and still do things for God, but you will always be limited. I do not believe that a Christian or a preacher, I do not believe a Christian can ever grow like they're supposed to, or a preacher will ever be as effective as he would be if he had the perfect Word of God without error. Without error. No error in this. We don't go to the Greek. We don't go to the Hebrew. We don't try to correct it. We let the Bible correct us. And that's what we stand on. I think it's very important that you get the right sword. There's 80% truth in a lot of these other versions. But it's mixed with 20 or 25% error. 60-something thousands omissions, 60-something thousands omissions alone in the NIV. So if we're going to do spiritual battle here tonight, we have to talk about this at least briefly. We have to mention the fact that if I'm going to pick up the sword of the Spirit and use it in battle, I've got to get the right one. I've got to get the one with the most strength. It doesn't mean that I think, as a matter of fact, I believe there's some people out there that's never been taught about the King James Bible. They don't even understand the differences. And I believe some of them are going by the light that they have and they're doing great things for God. But they will always be limited because they don't have the perfect Word of God. And if you have a King James Bible in your lap tonight, I believe with all my heart that you have the perfect Word of God. Perfect. No error. No trouble. Listen, like the old song says, if you find there's something wrong with that book, that means there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with the book. It doesn't contradict if you rightly divide it. It doesn't make mistakes if you just study and pray about the thing. The thing is perfect. And if I didn't believe it was perfect, I'd walk out of here tonight and do something else. Because I'd be the biggest con artist there is to get up here and say, you need to do this and you need to do that. And you keep sending in your tithe and paying me a good salary and listen to me and trust me and trust me with your eternal soul to tell you the truth. And I don't even believe that I have a perfect book that I'm telling you that stuff out of. I'd walk out of here tonight and I'd never preach again. What business have I got telling you to do something when I don't even know if I got the right record? It doesn't do any good for a man to tell you to do something. You need to know what God tells you to do. You know what God tells you to do when you've got God's book. And the King James 1611 authorized version is God's book. And that's what we believe, and that's what I believe, and I hope you believe it. It's the sword of the Spirit. Now notice what he says there. This is very important in this verse. He says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice that the Word of God is called the sword of the capital S. Do you see that in your Bible? He says it's the sword of the Spirit. So I want you to understand how the Holy Spirit of God and the book goes together. What makes this book alive? This is God's Word, but this is the Holy Spirit. Listen, do you know how a man understands this book here tonight? Do you know how a woman understands this book? You don't just pick this thing up and start reading it and get all this knowledge, even if it is God's book. Listen, that Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They are spiritually discerned, and he can't know them. I have to have the author of this book that lives within me if I'm saved to help me understand this book. And many times that's why you have all these professors and these so-called intellectuals that are a mess when it comes to the Bible. They're trying to figure it out on their intellect instead of figuring it out through the interpretation of the Holy Ghost, the author of the book. So in order to have that weapon in your spiritual armament and do that battle, the Holy Spirit and the Bible works closely together. As a matter of fact, you can pick up this book that is God's perfect book, and if the Holy Spirit's up there in heaven, suppose you're not saved, and he thinks your heart's not sincere or whatever, and he can just turn the light off and say, man, you can pick that book up and you can read it 1,000 times through and you'll get nothing out of it. Because the Holy Spirit is the illuminator. Every time, and I hope I maybe not do it every time, but I hope I do. I'm trying to think if I miss it or not, probably so. But when I get ready, every day, try to, or when I sit down and I'm not trying to get a message, I'm not trying to get ready for Sunday school or get ready for preaching or nothing. I just get back there in my office, get my chair. I got my place marked where I am in the Bible, right there, right now. I open it up, and I shut my eyes, and I say to God, give me your understanding. Show me what this means. Feed my soul with your precious word in Jesus' name before I ever start reading that thing. You know why? I know that I don't have the ability on my own to understand this perfect book. I know that if God doesn't illuminate it to me, I'll get something wrong out of it and twist it and get something messed up that God's not even saying. You say, you mean you can preach? There's preachers all over the country doing it. Preachers all over the country getting messed up in the book. I believe it was Dr. Ruttman one time that said this thing is the most dangerous thing you'll ever pick up. You say, how in the world could a preacher say this is the most dangerous thing you could ever pick up? Because this book will damn your soul to hell and make you a perfect nut if you pick it up with the wrong motive and the wrong heart. When you approach this book, this is the only book that's really going to speak to you in the world, as he said, and I believe it, that matters with a man's heart. That's why the atheist studies it to find error. And he's messed up. It doesn't just matter that I read this book. How does this book help me that I'm holding in my hand here tonight? I have to approach this book with the right motive. I don't know everything. I'm willing to be corrected. I'm willing to be instructed. I'm willing to be taught. God, I bow my head and I close my eyes and I know I've got your precious, perfect book in my hand. And you have to show me this stuff. You have to reveal it to me. You have to give me knowledge or I won't know a thing. And then God says, all right, the Spirit works with the Word. And then he does something. You ever wonder sometimes why so many people can read the Bible and get so many weird things from it? That sword of the Spirit. The Spirit is not illuminating that stuff to them. They've approached it with the wrong heart. They've approached it with the wrong motive. There's something in there in that heart that they won't get right. And because they won't get it right, they're scrambled on that thing. You better understand me and you better understand me well. I consider the most important weapon you got. But it's the most dangerous weapon you got. You'll be swinging that thing around there first thing you know and cut your own leg off. If you don't have the right spirit about it. I might can cut your head off. I might can stab the devil or whatever with it. I can stab myself. It's not just about picking it up. You have to pick it up with the right motive. That's why that verse I just read to you. Dividing asunder of soul and spirit of the joints of marrow. Notice what it says. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what that book does? It discerns about the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And I believe the first thing that's going to happen when you pick up that book is the Holy Spirit's going to say, okay, why are you in the book today? Why are you picking up that? Just check off your Bible reading list, are you? Say, so I went through the Bible again. Done read through it about 150 times now. I heard a preacher say years ago, he said, I used to see how many times I could go through the Bible in a year, and now I see how many times the Bible can go through me in a year. That's maturity. I'm not telling you to read your Bible. I think you ought to at least read it through every year. But you better have your heart right when you pick up this book. That's how it works. The Bible and the Holy Spirit goes together. It's a spiritual being that's living inside of you if you're saved, and he's using that spiritual weapon, this book, to fight a spiritual battle against a spiritual foe. Do you understand that? It's the Holy Spirit that lives within you if you're saved that takes a spiritual book and together they help you fight a spiritual battle against a spiritual foe. And it's so important that you understand that. So you have to have the Bible and you have to have the right Bible and you need to learn to use that Bible. Just like I was talking about those fellas fencing and sword fighting and practicing, you need to read it and study and pray and know some Bible. You know what's helped me? I'll say this and move on to cover this praying here just a little bit here in a moment before we go. I tell you what has helped me not to get deceived and to go on. And I want to give you $1,000 of information for free here, okay? Here we go. There's been times in my life when my emotions have ran away with me. Maybe I'm the only one guilty. There's been times in my life where I've suffered some depression. I have. And anxiety. Some fear. There's been times in my life when I knew. I had enough sense to know, thank God, that my mind was messed up. I knew that my mind was messed up at the time. But because I had been in the Bible all these years, because I've kept reading the Bible, when my mind would get messed up and my emotions get messed up and my heart would get messed up, the Scriptures would come back to me to address that, to keep me from going out in left field, to keep me from feeling forsaken, to keep me from just throwing my hands up in there and quitting and saying the blazes with it all. It is so important for you to get that book in you and you to know that book so that when you're not in your right mind and you're not thinking right and all hell is coming up against you and you know that you're not emotionally stable at that time, this book is always stable. This book is always right. And have enough within your heart and within your mind that when those dark days come, it'll come back to you. I know you're feeling this. I know you're experiencing this. But the book says this. And the book says this. And God says this. And it keeps you, even though you may not feel it or see it or realize it, it keeps you down the right road. And why many Christians succumb to this mess and get messed up is when they go through those times like that, they haven't hid the Word of God in their heart that they might not sin against Him. They don't know enough Scripture and have enough scriptural knowledge and truth to combat that. That's why that weapon is so important to fight in a good spiritual fight. Do you understand what I just told you? There's going to be times in your life where you are emotionally going to be a wreck and you're not going to be thinking correctly. It's at those times you have to have that Word in your heart to help you. If you ain't got it, you're in bad shape. Bad shape. Now notice what else he says, and this is not actually part of the armor, but I believe it goes with the armor. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit. See there? That's the Spirit. Now notice how that goes. The Spirit is connected to your prayer, and the Spirit is connected to the book. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Spirit will pray for you and help you. And I'm not talking about an unknown tongue. I'm talking about the Spirit making groanings for us, interceding for us. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He's not flipping around on the floor like a fish out of water speaking in tongues. That's not what I'm talking about. He's praying for you about things you don't even know you need. And the prayer goes along. It absolutely goes along with putting on the armor. Now listen, prayer is not part of the armor, but I believe that the prayer is how you approach the armor, how you put on the armor, how you utilize the armor. I don't think it's no coincidence that it's put right there in the same section of Scripture with the armor. I put on my armor, and how am I putting on my armor? I'm putting it on not just with the realization that I need to practice what is already positionally in me, it needs to be practiced. I need to get my standing into my state. But I through prayer approach God and say, I need the helmet of salvation. I need the breastplate of righteousness. I need a shield of faith. I need to have my loins girt about with the truth. I need to have the preparation of the gospel of peace. My feet shod, my feet shoed. I need to put that on. And I do it all through prayer. Prayer is the access of me putting on the whole armor of God and realizing the need for the whole armor of God and praying to God and telling Him and letting Him know I need the whole armor of God. Another reason I think this is connected is something I want you to think about. There was one piece of armor. Actually, there are two pieces because they go on both legs. But there were two pieces that the Roman soldier wore that Paul did not mention in this passage. They are the leg guards or the shin guards or what they would call the greaves. And you would think, he gave you all the armor that a first century Roman soldier would wear, and he left that out. Why? Well, it did include prayer. So if that fellow's knelt down praying, he doesn't need that. You see it in your mind? Amen. He doesn't need those pieces of armor. He's not exposed there. He's praying. He's armored up. He has the shield. And he has the sword. And it's all being accessed spiritually through something spiritually. What? The prayers of the saints. You praying to God. That Bible says that we're to be always praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. It's being praying in the Spirit, being Spirit-led in your prayer. And we ought to pray not just for ourselves, but for others. I believe that there's great spiritual strength in prayer. You need spiritual strength to fight a spiritual warfare. Oftentimes, over the years, people have come to me and felt very discouraged. They will say, I can't sing. Maybe like my cousin that preaches, Brother Keith, that's been up here. He's pretty humorous about it. Somebody asked him if he would sing one time. He said, I don't sing. He said, when I sing, I sound like a mule deer grunting. But some people say, well, I don't sing, and I don't have the ability to teach, and I don't preach. And what can I do? I just feel like there's nothing for me to do. Do you know that one of the greatest needs in the local church, because it's not there, one thing that would give the local church the most power and the most help and would get the local church heading back in the right direction, if we just had a local church full of some prayer warriors. Now, I do know that we have some in this church. I do know, especially, I don't know about many of you. I'm sure you men pray, but most of the people I know that's praying in this church are women, so you men need to catch up with us. But I do know we have some prayer warrior women in here. I do know that there's a lot of people in this church that pray for me and pray often. I do know that there's people that get up before daylight, men and women in this church, to read their Bible and pray. You can't do nothing any better. Let me tell you something. If you are by nature, don't find it easy to pray, if it's difficult for you to pray long, if it's difficult for you to engage in prayer, I want to ask you to make the conscious effort. I can't think of any better way you can spend your time. Turn off the TV. Turn off the news. It's just going to depress you. Get somewhere quiet. I suggest the front porch. That's just my opinion. Get somewhere quiet. Go to your study. Go to your bedroom, wherever you are. And spend some time praying. And don't say, well, you know, I got to do this and got to do that. And so-and-so is coming on. Just say, God, today, unless an emergency happens, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to pour my heart out to you. And I'm not getting up from this prayer until I'm finished. And I'm not getting up, God, until I feel that you've touched me. I can't tell you the number of times I sit down to pray only because it was right. And felt if God was even out there, he was a million miles away. And I continued to pray and continued to pray. Nothing. So lonely in that room. Nothing. And I continued to pray and continued to pray. And then something happened. It's akin to what John Wesley said about when he got saved. John Wesley said his heart was strangely warm. I can't tell you the number of times I've been in there praying and I felt like God ain't hearing this thing. If it's going above that roof, I'll give you $1 million, man. And I just keep praying because it's right. And I want to talk to God. And I want him to talk to me. And I want to feel him. And I just keep on. And then something starts lighting up in that room. And there's a presence comes in that room. And then first thing you know it, you get the glory bumps. And I'm not suggesting you seek a feeling or try to go get a feeling. Or I'm not talking about that. But brother, when you get in fellowship with God, you will often have a feeling. And you meet with him and let him talk to you. I mean, you talk to him. God knows all the struggles this church has been through. Just as much as you need a preacher to preach the book to you, just as much you need prayer warriors to reach his throne for you. We're talking about putting on the whole armor of God tonight. The whole armor of God to fight a spiritual battle. And we put it all on, but we get to the end of it and say we put it all on with prayer. We access it through prayer. We utilize it. We use it through prayer. Because I have to get my strength, my spiritual strength, to access a spiritual weaponry through a spiritual means. And that's through prayer. When you pray, that's you talking to God. And when you read his book, that's him talking to you. And that's how you have proper communication. Every day, time in his book, time talking to him. Time that he talks to you, time that you talk to him. And then sometimes you just sitting there and being still and knowing that he's God and waiting for his presence to show up. sometimes we're in too big a hurry. I feel like I spoil a lot of people because I've always been a short-winded preacher. And I'm not, you can believe this or whatever, I'm not short-winded because I think it pleases people. That's just my natural way of preaching. Also, I graduated from a Southern Baptist Bible college, and their homiletic professors teach you basically this: stand up, speak up, and shut up. That's just the way I was taught, and it matches my natural personality. My natural personality is just to be, boom, and it's over. That's right, just get her done. I always enjoy playing speed chess, but I hate regular chess. I'm not even going to play regular chess with you. I'm not sitting there to wait an hour to wait for you to make a move. Now, if you put us on a clock, I'm not that great at it, but I enjoy speed chess. Like, you know, I like that. That's fun. I like to think quick. I don't like to think long. I got ADD. I can't do that. If you want me to think quick, I can think quick, but not long. Amen. Everybody all right? We need to get in that book. We need to do some praying. And you listen, you can't rush the stuff. You cannot rush your prayer life. And we cannot rush the services here. Amen. And I believe, I don't preach very long. And we get out early sometimes. We get out on time and all that. But always remember this. Anytime you show up for a church service, you're not showing up to get out. You're showing up to get in. Amen. And sometimes the Lord may say, well, will you wait till I show up? Will you wait till I make myself evident? Well, Lord, you better make yourself evident here in 30 more minutes or whatever. Lord says, dismiss. Go to the house. You got to get things ready for tomorrow, do you? You wouldn't even have a tomorrow if it wasn't for me. You got a TV program you got to check in, all right, go. God train us to sit there and be still and wait on God to do something. Amen. I hope that this little study of the putting on the whole armor of God's helped you. I hope you know how to put it on. I hope you understand the pieces. I hope you know how they apply and how important they are to fighting the spiritual battle. So I hope this has been a help to you. All right, let's stand here tonight.